Live. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Sound Money Podcast. I am your host, Steve McGarry, where we discover and explore everything having to do with new technologies and business. So in today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about something that's near and dear to me, which is decentralized finance and consumer lending. So many of you may know that if I haven't mentioned it before in the past, in a previous life, a few years ago, I was a co-founder of a company that was doing peer-to-peer lending, and it was a platform where people could go on, they could get loans to go through coding boot camps, and this enabled students to learn programming, they could get jobs right out of school because these schools were like 12 weeks or so. They could learn everything they needed to know and get placed in a job, very low risk profile. And we were providing and facilitating those loans via the schools, partnering with them directly. So fast forward about 14 months after doing that, we exited. We got acquired by Max Levchin's company, Affirm, which is a consumer finance company. And the whole experience was quite wild, but very, very near and dear. And I followed the industry very closely, the peer-to-peer lending space. And I do think that now, more than ever, credit and loans and lending in general is in a very unique space or a very unique position because we have emerging technologies. And one of them, as you can see in the title, is called decentralized finance or DeFi. And this presents a very interesting solution to a complex problem. And that being that there are a lot of issues with, you know, the current credit system, whether it's Equifax or TransUnion, whatever it may be, your credit score is given to you based off of your creditworthiness. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, all the way down to capitalizing names in your cell phone and things like that. So there are some interesting options out there. But first, it's important to get a gauge on the size of the consumer lending space. And as of this year, I'm going to pull up an article real quick from CNBC, whether or not you agree with their their news or whatnot. This is a pretty accurate amount. Even when I was doing this in 2013, 2014, these numbers were much lower than this, but $138 billion in U.S. personal loans as of February of 2019. A lot of people are attributing this to fintech or financial technology. 38% of the personal loan market is mainly being driven through fintech technology. And, that's from TransUnion. So that's a legitimate source. Consumer lending usually has a lot to do with your TransUnion and your Equifax, because they're the ones that are pinging your credit to make sure that you can get access to that capital. And the unsecured personal loan market hit an all-time high last year in 2018, surging 17% over year to $138 billion. Now, why is this important? Why bring this up, Steve? What are you talking about? So when we talk about this space, and when I got into lending, into peer-to-peer lending in 2014, it was very apparent that there was a need for technology. Like, it's a very archaic, old system where, you know, they're literally using like red phones to call each other, doing these loans, using legacy code in their, banking software and things like that. It's just a very brutal process to get access to credit or, a loan and using banks. So it was prime positioning and time for peer-to-peer lending to take off. And what we noticed was after about 2 years of things really picking up pace, what we noticed was it was less about the mom and pop retail investors that were getting access to these loans, where you know, let's say I wanted to finance my wedding and I needed a $20,000 personal loan, I would go on to one of these marketplace lenders like Lending Club or Prosper. I would apply. And on the other side of the marketplace, there was a mom and pop who had $20,000 that they could lend out. They had your risk profile, everything up front, and Prosper or Lending Club would facilitate that transaction. And you would be making your monthly income as they were repaying their loan. And you could just make a bunch of those loans, In some cases, non-accredited investors had access to it on Prosper. And I think now on Lending Club also. But it quickly shifted once banks caught wind that this was a trend. This was a big mega trend that people were catching on to. They were like, oh, what's this internet thing that these people are lending money through? Let's check this out. So it quickly became a race to the best loans. The banks started scraping all the loans within seconds of them going live from Prosper and Lending Club, scooping them all up and fulfilling them as quickly as possible. Because in a bank's perspective, the more capital they can deploy, the more money they're going to make. And facilitating different vehicles to do so is the goal of the bank. And finding these platforms and getting access to bulk amounts of these loans was detrimental to staying ahead of the curve, you know, effectively ripping the high yield of the quality loans away from mom and pop investors, or protecting them to get these loans on their books. And what we saw happen was that shift. So it went from peer-to-peer to peer-to-institution quite quickly. And one of the most interesting things that's happening right now is decentralized finance around lending and borrowing. And what this means is effectively something like a MakerDAO, where you have access to your private keys, you are in control, you can lend your ETH, which is also, it's called Ethereum, but ETH, if you're new to it, is the ticker for ETH. If you're into stocks, it's just the ticker that people trade on. Put your ETH on the blockchain and people can borrow that ETH and repay it. So there's borrowing and lending. So people are actually in this decentralized manner, not using a marketplace. So it was what I was originally intending with our company, peer-to-peer lending, where we're like, all right, great, we can facilitate these things. A little bit like a middleman, where you're providing this marketplace to individual peers to do these loans. So now what you have is the removal of that middleman. And when we're talking about $130+ billion in loans, we're talking about a substantial amount of capital here. Once you get over the 100 billion mark, you're dealing with some serious money. And that is a large amount of disruption that could be caused by a new peer-to-peer lending phenomenon. And the reason that I'm bringing this up now is because there are a lot of these DeFi or decentralized finance companies popping up. As you can see here, if you're listening in, I'm on a block123.com. It's showing all of the DeFi websites that are currently doing borrowing, lending, transfers of some kind, and there are a lot of them. So Compound Finance and DAI and MakerDAO and Dharma are probably the most well-known in the small space of cryptocurrency, but it's a very exciting concept to me, specifically because I saw firsthand what happened with peer-to-peer lending, how quickly it took off. Because people started realizing they could use each other, they could use their neighbor, they could use another peer to get access to the capital that they needed for debt consolidation or a home improvement loan or whatever it may be, whatever they needed access to credit for. And it's a really, really fundamental shift in how we think about finance, how we think about credit, how we think about access. And when we move into this peer-to-peer realm. And it's really the one that I really want to dive into, in addition to another financial instrument, is called MakerDAO. And MakerDAO and Compound Finance are pioneering this space for sure, where you have this decentralized entire community of people that are all in control of their own funds, and they're putting up collateralized loans, and they're working together as a community for governance to keep everything in control. So it's this beautiful kind of symbiotic example of a raw version of what I was doing in 2014, where you have people that are not on a controlling marketplace that's controlling the flow of money and facilitating it. It's literally people that are meeting because they control their own funds. Like they're meeting and they are using each other's wallet addresses. There's no middleman or anything like that. It's literally 100% truly peer-to-peer of two sovereign citizens that are lending money and borrowing money between themselves. And when it comes to something like this, an important thing to think about is this is all public. This is 100% transparent. Imagine what it would be like if Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs or one of these large institutions was transparent in every transaction that happened. Obviously, it's not in everybody's best interest for there to be 100% transparency, especially the business. But just imagine if, I know MakerDAO is transparent. Compound Finance literally has their, smart contracts out there that you can publicly review and see all of these transactions taking place all on a public ledger. And having something like Morgan Stanley have that out there would be insane, absolutely insane. And in my opinion, it would actually help them. It would help them come into the new generation where people care about transparency, people care about honesty, and it's rewarded in many cases. And I think that with using something like Maker and Compound Finance, it's going to change how people look at things. Even if the projects completely fail, which they're not, but even if they exploded tomorrow and went out of business, this is still out there. This is still available. There's in terms of the concept, everyone that has been part of it has researched it. They've learned what it is like to truly have a peer-to-peer system where people can lend and borrow, and it's all transparent. It's just a fascinating thing to put out in the world. And I've covered a lot about DAOs in the future, and I respect and love how DAOs operate, where it's a community-driven, unstoppable organization, effectively. I think that with this, applying this DAO sort of concept to finance that's transparent on a public ledger where people are lending and borrowing, you're going to see a lot of pushback from traditional institutions, because this is a very different way than what I remember peer-to-peer finance and peer-to-peer lending and how it operated, because there was always a middleman because we had the institutions to manage it. And now we're in a whole nother level, a whole nother level of disruption here. And it's exciting to me to watch. I've played around with these platforms. I played around with collateralized loans, which effectively means you have a loan to value ratio where, if each Bitcoin right now is $10,000 and you want a loan for $25,000, you put up 5 Bitcoin or $50,000, which would be a 50% loan to value ratio. And you could take that $25,000 out with your $50,000 down in Bitcoin, not a taxable event. Beautiful example of a financial instrument that can really help people free up US dollars or whatever currency they're using and put it to work in a different asset and not actually liquidate their positions. So it's exciting to see these types of instruments coming out. That is actually BlockFi and Celsius and some of these other instruments, and crypto.com is a great one that's working on this. But in terms of DeFi, I really think that that is, it's in a different category. It's like a subset of these financial instruments. Like when I talk about crypto.com and BlockFi and Celsius and stuff like that, that is, you know, they are facilitating this. They are very much a middleman facilitating these things in a very elegant and beautiful way that helps bring people into the space. And the smart money is able to execute traditional investment type activity. But these DeFi platforms like MakerDAO and your Compound Finance, they're in a different league because they're doing something different, but they're in the same let's say spirit of how this disruption is going to play out. And I, for one, think that it will be a surge that happens in the next bull market because people aren't going to necessarily pull their Bitcoin out or their cryptocurrency. They're not going to cash it into US dollars right away. They'll move it into what's called a stable coin. And if you guys are brand new to that, that's totally fine. Stable coins are just a pegged cryptocurrency to fiat currency like a US dollar. One US dollar equals one, you know, Gemini USD or GUSD or whatever stable coin you want out there. And they're just pegged to it to safely store an on and off ramp. So if I don't want any volatility, I can move out of any one of these volatile cryptocurrencies and move it into a stable coin comfortably. And that's probably where the majority of people are going to move in this next bull run that happens in the next couple of years here. We're currently in one, but it's before it has that blow off top that everybody remembers from 2017. If you were around then, it's just it'll be such a different world. It's going to be such a different world when you have, newly minted millionaires moving into stable coins, moving into these lending and borrowing platforms, and mom and pops coming into the ecosystem, learning about things, using YouTube as their source of information. There's amazing tutorials out there simplifying everything down for educational purposes. And it's just, it's going to be a wild ride with pure disruption through these DAOs, and you have futures coming out. So that's really what I wanted to cover today, was about the whole concept of pure peer-to-peer lending here and borrowing, because it's a whole different ballgame than what my background was in. And I think it's a fascinating thing to follow. I highly recommend you guys check out MakerDAO and Compound Finance just to look into it. Just see what's going on. Check out crypto.com and BlockFi and some of these other instruments that are coming out, because you don't necessarily have to engage with them, but just check them out. Just see what's going on, because this is the type of thing that's right on the cusp of having hundreds of millions of people flooding into it. And in my opinion, whether or not you're an early adopter in this space, or whatever space you're in right now, I think it's still important to see these types of things firsthand before it's extremely mainstream, because this is exciting. It's a once in a lifetime type of event to watch. Peer-to-peer lending was the same way. Now it's much different. Like I said, it phased out very differently now. Like if you go on and lend money on Lending Club, it's not going to be anywhere near the returns that it used to be. It'll probably around half, if not lower than that, of what it was originally. So I just wanted to let everybody know and just share a little bit about my experience and how it compares to DeFi and, you know, just the size of consumer lending, and that the muscle behind consumer finance and loans is a massive one that is not going to sit around and watch this explode in the way that it is going to, very similar to peer-to-peer lending and that disruption that happened. It'll be a short window, very small window, where the institutions will pick up on this, and it's going to be a wild, wild experience to watch. Again, and I'm very fortunate to be able to witness this twice, but if you guys have not or did not see the peer-to-peer lending phenomenon happen, I highly recommend you watch this DeFi
phenomenon happen because it is a fascinating one already. Seeing all the transactions going on these communities is pretty mind-blowing in the level of earning and borrowing that's going on. So that's it for this episode of the Sound Money Podcast. I hope you guys like it. If you did, you know, don't be shy. Feel free to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And I will see you guys on the next episode of the Sound Money Podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of the Sound Money Podcast with your host, me, Steve McGarry. If you guys want to learn more about all of our previous episodes and our upcoming episodes, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes and Spotify. We are trying to get the word out there, so feel free to share the Sound Money Podcast as well as like us on iTunes. Leave us a review if you feel so compelled to do so. And join us next week on the next episode, because we're going to be talking about some really exciting new technologies on next week's episode. And I want you to think about how these technologies from today's episode could apply to the workplace that you are currently in. And that is it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time.